720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Skyline Studio high atop Chicago. And a few minutes here before we get into our 3 o'clock hour and some of the exciting things happening. We're going to have Mario Andretti on. We're going to have Wayne Randazzo on. We're going to talk to a bunch of people. But on the line with us now is a person that has, when it comes to traveling the world in the efforts carrying the torch for great wine, great experiences for Cooper's Hawk, that has gone from a few locations, Illinois roots, to around the world, 500,000 plus in the wine club. She is the vice president of wine and beverage experience, a master sommelier, and one of the leading personalities and voices in wine. Emily Wine, welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you very much.
So, Emily, this is it. You're all over the country here. It's great to have you back in the hometown, at least our hometown, and, of course, the home state for Cooper's Hawk, where it all started with really one of, as a part of so many exciting moments, one of the most exciting ones, as you guys are about to, later tonight, cut the ribbon on the first ever location here in Chicago, the biggest, the World of Wine.
Absolutely. We are so thrilled. This is a really special Cooper's Hawk, very different from any of the other 40 locations that we've opened. And I'm just very thrilled to be a part of it tonight.
You know, and coming up for the general public, it is going to be Monday. For now, everybody's going to get a chance. There's some of those people that have been integral into forming it and shaping it and on the community and the local leader level get a chance to check it out. But in the minute or so that we have left, or a couple minutes, talk about what makes it different. For those Cooper's Hawk fans that are listening to us, what is going to make this a destination, not only for them, but people around the world?
Well, you know, this is a Cooper's Hawk that feels like many of our restaurants. It has all of the same menu items, but there's some special things. In particular, this restaurant is really a tribute to the world of wine. So we at Cooper's Hawk love to make wine approachable and fun and accessible. And there's no wine that we're not happy to serve you. And we have an incredible collection of wines at this restaurant, over 1,500 selections, and an opportunity to really dive into the world of wine and experience it through the lens of what we do at Cooper's Hawk, which is making wine fun.
Yeah, making wine fun, and a little bit about your selection as well. Of course, those great collaborations, John Legend, one of the recent ones, and then, of course, you have your own collaboration as well that has been very popular. I'm sure it will be served tonight.
Yes, we'll be pouring lots of Camille Brave, my wine, tonight at our celebration, along with many other great Cooper's Hawk wines.
We're going to have links up at WGNradio.com. Look forward to seeing you guys here and in the studio. I think we'll have you in on Monday, and hope to see you guys later tonight. Congratulations to you, Tim, the team, and everybody who loves wine. Thanks, Emily.
Cheers.
All right, we are going to, when we get to news in about 30 seconds, when we come back, it is the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame Gala, and one of our guys, one of the icons in the sport of racing, is being honored with the first ever Lifetime Achievement Award. We'll talk with him, plus the voice of the Mets, Wayne Randazzo, will be joining us as well to talk a little bit about that. Alexis DeGioia, NHRA star, is also going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame as well. Plus your calls, 312-981-7200. So we're going to take a break now for news. I'm pretty sure, right? We're going to do that. We'll be back after this on the road, 720 WGN.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
Hi, this is Wayne Randazzo from the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
Come on and fly with me. Let's fly away.
720 WGN, on the road with Dane, live here high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio. And on the line with us now, on an occasion that allows us to embrace our great Italian American community here in Chicago and recognize one of the great personalities, well, a lot of great personalities, but one of the great personalities in particular of racing, and also is so closely tied to his Italian heritage as well. Mario Andretti getting the Lifetime Achievement Award from the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame. Alexis DeGioia also going in, another racing person, so racing central. So we'll switch from racing to baseball as we talk to one of the voices of the New York Mets and a guy behind so much of everything that happens there at the Hall of Fame. Wayne Randazzo, welcome to WGN.
Hi, Dane. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to have you in. And whenever you can kind of be this beacon, this kind of like a bat signal for really cool stuff, we're excited to talk about it. The Hall of Fame, I'm familiar with it. You know, it's been around in Chicago for a long time. George Randazzo was the founder of it and been a part of so much of the excitement that's happened here. But this is really big because the event that's happening tonight in Rosemont, the gala there, recognizing great excellence and great personalities, great Italian-American heritage. But Mario Andretti, right, the first Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, you're kind of doubling back in some ways to the great history of the Hall of Fame. And Mario Andretti was really one of the first inductees when it opened up to become a sports Hall of Fame. When George started it, it was just a boxing Hall of Fame to honor all of his boxing heroes when he was a kid. Guys like Rocky Marciano, Rocky Graziano, and Willie Pep, and all these great Italian-American boxers of the past. And then Joe DiMaggio became the first all-sports inductee, and soon after that, Mario Andretti was inducted. And he stayed close to the Hall of Fame when they had the building on Taylor Street. You know, one of his race cars hung from the ceiling inside the exhibits. And, you know, Mario's been somebody, you know, Michael, too, really a lot of the Andretti family. There have been a few different Andrettis inducted into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. But, of course, Mario's the patriarch of all that, and we're excited to give him this Lifetime Achievement Award for everything he's done, not only for his sport, but for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and he is one of those people that kind of really walks that walk. You know, as proud an American as you can get, an all-American guy, and achieved so much success here in America and around the world, really, on the racetrack, but also so tied and supportive and a great ambassador for his Italian roots as well. So if you can talk a little bit about it, you brought up George, the founder, and so much success, and as kind of the world of sports and in an Italian sense is kind of converging on Chicago. Give a little brief history for the listeners not aware of what we have here in Chicago with the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's a really neat place. You know, George started this in 1977, and you know, he passed away, sadly, in July. This is actually the first induction ceremony we've done without him. So it'll be a little bit of a different atmosphere, and you know, we'll certainly miss George a lot. This is his baby. This was his passion, and he turned it into a passion for a lot of people, you know, me included. He, you know, someone who's much younger and was just coming up in the sports world. You know, this was something that was exciting to me because of all the memorabilia that he had. You know, he had Rocky Marciano's championship belt. He had all of the medals that Matt Biondi won in the Olympics many years ago. He got all the stuff from Brian Boitano and Joe Montana and Mike Piazza and all these different sports figures that have passed through. I remember when the exhibits were up that he had a robe from the Macho Man Randy Savage that seemed to get a lot of gawkers. You know, it was really multifaceted, and it wasn't just baseball, football, basketball. It was all kinds of different sports. We have a fencer in the Hall of Fame.
What?
You know, there's so many different types of people that are in, and I think that's what makes it so special is that, you know, there wasn't any limits as far as men, women, extreme sports, sports you've never heard of, sports that maybe have gone out of style. You know, those people are all involved in the Italian-American Sports Hall of Fame. It's a great place.
When you get the next incarnation on the physical brick-and-mortar side of it, those wings, the sports you've never heard of and the sports that are out of style, those will be smaller wings, I'm sure. How did, because it's been such a great kind of beacon, and you have drawn not only, of course, you know, personalities like Mario, who's as big as they get, but Joe DiMaggio came out, you know, for his induction as well. And like, talk a little bit about that. Was it the kind of thing where it started with boxing and then other people came out of the woodwork? Was it fans that said, hey, you need to recognize this person or that sport? Or did those sports icons themselves say, hey, let's get in on this?
Well, I think at some point George realized there was kind of a limit to just honoring boxers, that, you know, really it should be everybody. And there were so many people to choose from that at the time he had a lot of support in the community. You know, he was started working out of an office in Elmwood Park to have this thing rolling. And then they got the building in Arlington Heights, which was up for a long time before they moved it down to Taylor Street. But, you know, essentially, there were only so many boxers of Italian-American heritage that they could have honored. And after the first couple of years, it was a big success. They got a lot of involvement. And then as it expanded after that, you know, it was just this cornucopia of athletes that they could honor. So, you know, it was really just across the board. There was so much interest in it from the community, from the athletes themselves. There was such a rich history, and so many people wanted to honor their heritage that there was, you know, 8 to 10 people going in every year at the very beginning. Jimmy Carter, while he was actually sitting as U.S. president, came to one of the events, I believe,
what?
Around 1979 or 1980. So there, at the very beginning, there was just so much interest in it. And, you know, these guys who were of the previous generations were so excited to honor their heritage. You know, some of them were, of course, first-generation Italian-Americans. Not too many of those left at this point. But, you know, some of those guys were of the first generation even come here from Italy. So, you know, it was a really fun thing at that time, and as it has expanded, you know, Georgia had done a lot for scholarships, for disabled athletes, for people that, you know, needed help in the communities. You know, he was always thinking about outreach, and, you know, they've awarded so much money in scholarships over the years. You know, Susan Notarangelo was extremely important as far as getting all that together, and, you know, there's just been so many different ways that the Hall of Fame has survived and thrived over the years.
Is it the kind of thing that people do because I think Italian Americans are so prominent and so successful in kind of all walks of sports that people are like, yeah, that makes sense? Or are some people kind of surprised about it? And maybe are some inductees sort of like Randy Macho Man Savage, based on his vocation? I'm not sure that Savage is his real surname, but I wasn't aware. And then Jimmy Carter, to have him recognize it, is he secretly Italian? Do we know that, Wayne?
No, he's not. There have been some non-Italians that were heavily involved. Over Jack Murkowski used to be heavily involved.
Yeah,
he actually emceed some of the dinners over the years too. He was, you know, of course, did everything in Chicago sports broadcasting. So why wouldn't he do that? You know, Randy Savage was born Randy Poffo in Downers Grove. Actually,
he was
from the Chicago area. So, you know, there were a lot of people that got involved, not even because of being Italian, just because of how passionate George was about the project.
Yeah.
Do something within the community. So, you know, all the inductees are still Italian. There are some people that are in or that have been honored. John Smoltz is in. He's not exactly a guy who has an Italian last name, but his mom is Italian. Paul Konerko has been honored in the past, another guy without an Italian last name, but who's got an Italian mother. So, you know, there's some people in it that may not sound like they have Italian names, but are, and you know, continues to be a great event. This will be a great event tonight.
As you guys and of course the board of directors and kind of that nominating committee decide who to bring in the beginning, as you mentioned, you know, there were so many people who deserved that recognition that there were a lot of people in there. And then I think now probably you're looking for ways to kind of share, broaden, diversify, and kind of showcase kind of the range of people of Italian American descent that have achieved in sports. And so Alexis DeGioia, she's another one, just like Mario, has been an often time guest on the program. And and she's, you know, obviously a lady in a sport that is dominated, at least for the most part, drag racing by men. And so what was the thought process of bringing her in? I mean, she's a great example. She's achieved some great things and in kind of a sport that isn't necessarily thought as a girl's sport.
Yeah, right. And, you know, I think that's a lot of it, that she's an extremely successful woman in a sport that doesn't exactly stick out as being open to females being involved. And on top of that, you know, she's won just about every class that she could possibly win. She's won just about every tournament. She's been dominant, on top of the fact that she's a woman who's accomplished great things. So she was kind of a no-brainer when we looked at the end of the day, and she was interested in coming. And she's a wonderful fit, right up there with Diana Taurasi and Jennifer Capriati and, you know, Mary Lou Retton, all the previous women that we've inducted. And last year's inductee, Gina Carano, who was a great MMA fighter, her father, Glenn Carano, was Roger Staubach's backup quarterback for many years with the Dallas Cowboys.
Man.
And, you know, Gina said last year she would like for her and her dad to be the first father-daughter combination in the Italian-American Sports Hall of Fame. So her wish was our command, and George made it happen, and we got Glenn Carano to be inducted this year. So when Glenn goes in, he and Gina will be the first father-daughter to be put in the Italian-American Sports Hall of Fame.
Wow, the names are great. The names are iconic. The stories are endless. So let's talk a little bit about, for those people going to be there tonight out in Rosemont, they know what they're getting into. We'll have links as well. But for those people, I don't know if it's an opportunity to, for people last minute to show up. I know you've got to be, you know, properly attired and all that. But if there's information about that, plus we're going to want to get the website before we let you go as well. But for those people that were familiar with the facility on Taylor Street and all the things that it was, you know, a great kind of temple to honor those things with lots to see on the museum side, as you guys transition into that next kind of phase for the Hall of Fame, how can people get involved? How can they support it? What can they do?
Yeah, I mean, definitely call the Hall of Fame. 312-226-5566 is the number. You know, ask for Shannon or Ashley, who've done a great job putting this dinner together. The website is NIASHF, National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame. Just, you know, the acronym of that, NIASHF.org. And, you know, try to get involved. You know, certainly George was the one who made all the calls and tried to get people to come and donate and fundraisers and all that. George, you know, he probably made 1,000 phone calls a day when he was running it. And he, you know, it was really his baby and something he was passionate about. So the rest of us are trying to fill that void right now and trying to pick up where he left off. Unfortunately, it's extremely difficult to do. Nobody knows how he did it, but you know, even with the dozens of people now trying to take the role that he had, you know, which it's not quite as simple as he made it look. But you know, the Italian American Sports Hall of Fame is going to keep going, and that's the biggest thing, is that we're going to take George's passion and continue to build on it and create the legacy that he deserves.
Yep, he was a force of nature, and as much as people can look at it and say, hey, it's a no-brainer, I mean, it's a testament, I think, to what one person can do when they're passionate about it, committed to it, and out there like George was. And you guys will pick it up, and I know it'll get exactly where it needs to be, and he'll be looking down and excited about all that progress and success as the hall moves forward. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com as well. Excited to see everybody that's out there, everybody that's been involved, yourself, of course, and those inductees for this year's Hall of Fame. Thanks, Wayne. Thanks for everything you're doing. Hopefully the Cubs, I guess, will come back and do better, right?
They have some work to do. No question about it. But I'm sure they're thrilled to have David Ross leading the way, and we'll see. You know, they still got a lot of talent there.
They do, but think about this. Now, this is totally, you know, as an aside. So, David Ross, if you're David Ross, you have it made, right? You're already a 100% positive personality. You could be doing car dealer ads for the rest of your life, but you get in there and you get off to, like, I don't know, like a 2-10 start this next year. It could all go south.
You could, yeah. I mean, there is that risk. And while I still think, you know, at the end of the day, he'll still be part of that group that won the World Series for them, and he had a big role in it. I don't think it's going to affect too much of that any more than it has for Bryant to not be the type of player he was when he won the MVP 3 years ago. You know, some of those guys, just by the sheer force of how their careers have gone, have not had the same lift on, you know, Dexter Fowler's a Cardinal now. There's different things that happen as you move away from 2016. But it's still a good group, and they need to be able to add to it. Certainly their pitching needs a lot of help. They could use a couple of relievers, but, you know, who can't really? You know, bullpen struggled badly in 2019 as it is. So We'll see
as that window closes. We'll see how it all shakes out. Wayne Randazzo, the one of the voices of the New York Mets, and we'll see you out at the Hall of Fame tonight. Thanks again, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Hey, this is Alexander Rossi, Indy 500 champion, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
I just want to stay in the sun where I find. I know it's hard sometimes.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio. First off, as we get into Veterans Day weekend, and with the Veterans Day coming up, we want just a big shout out to Sean Young and the guys over there at Missing 0-100 Hours, all the teams competing, the vets, all the veterans that are out there participating as well, saluting with smoke happening as we speak in Yorkville. They are going to crown a champion soon if they haven't done it already for that inaugural contest. So so good work for them as we get into Veterans Day and recognizing our men and women in uniform. And Coming up after the news break, we've got another individual that is in a different kind of uniform or has been, or I don't know if he's going to be wearing a tuxedo tonight. So Mario Andretti, normally wearing a Nomex fire suit or whatever they made it out of back in the day and then kind of porting into whatever kind of modern day safety equipment. Such a great career, obviously. He is a guy that has won in Formula One, Formula One Championship. He won the Daytona 500 in NASCAR. He won the Indy 500. He has won in every conceivable thing, and that is something that is difficult to do, so difficult that not very many people have done it. But then also as a great ambassador for motorsports and racing and all of that kind of stuff. So excited and a big congratulations. We're going to get a chance to talk with him after the news, but he is getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. So, Ashley, have you ever, you've received a lot of awards and accolades for someone that's very young. You've won a lot of great, you haven't won any, have you won any awards?
Yeah, when I was like a kid.
All right.
Like the most quiet student.
Oh, that's
for
good.
Being like a good student.
That's totally underrated, right? The most quiet student.
I know, right?
I couldn't even imagine getting a Lifetime Achievement Award, especially. But hey, life is hopefully not over yet. So we'll stay tuned for that. When we come back from the news, we're going to have all that. But after this break, we'll have the news. 720 WGN.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
Still, it's a real good bet. The best is yet to come.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio. And on the line with us now, we've got possibly the greatest race car driver, the greatest racing personality undeniable in the history of motorsports, champion in Formula One, IndyCar, Daytona 500 champion, Indy 500 champion, and soon to be a Chicago resident at least for a few hours. Excited to have him, the one and only Mario Andretti. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you, Dave.
Now, over the years, just I think is the side effect of all that success is that you have not only the, you know, championships and accolades and awards and recognition, but also I'm sure you're a member of multiple halls of fame, and now you have the opportunity to have additional recognition from one of those great halls of fame right here in Chicago, the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame, as a lifetime achievement. Having won so many different things, is it exciting to get more awards, especially one that's so close to your heritage?
What, of course. Of course it's exciting. I mean, it's the ultimate compliment, actually. You know, these are the things that you never expect, and when they happen, you say, oh my goodness. Then just when you're inducted in the Hall of Fame, you look at who preceded you and the roster that is there. I say, oh my goodness, you know, I'm alongside this and that and the other. And, you know, especially here, this the National Italian Sports Hall of Fame, you know, I have my son and my nephew, John, also in this Hall of Fame. So as a family, are we proud or what? You know, all these things have great, great meaning for us, as you could possibly imagine.
Well, you think about this, and, you know, it's one thing to be recognized for success in sports on the track through career and all that kind of stuff. But with the added, I don't know, weight, but kind of focus on the Italian side of things. And you've always been a great ambassador for motorsports. We've talked about that a lot, but also very proud of your Italian heritage, you know, as an Italian American and all that. So talk a little bit about that, because you are in some pretty great company. There are so many. I think this is another opportunity for people to kind of focus and recognize on all of the great sports, action, entertainment, and personalities that are Italian Americans in sports.
Yes, Dana, you just said, I think the Italian community has always traditionally been very proud of their heritage. We have Italian Americans, we have Italian born, like myself, who have made this the home for the majority of our lives. And of course, we're proud of of our heritage, as you say, but also never to forget, you know, what America has done for us, the opportunities, all of those things. So it's a double situation. I mean, there's pride on both sides, but we never want to forget, you know, where some of the ancestry or us as, like myself, Italian born, Italy still, my blood is still there. I always say, when I'm asked a question, when I'm in Italy, I says, Mario, do you feel American or Italian? I said, well, I said, the passport does not change the blood, you know, so I will always be Italian. But I said, but my home is America, and I have a degree of debt, you know, to for this country, you know, and I know how much this has meant for us and the family. So, Dane, I'm always say the perfect example of having lived the American dream. So we celebrate both sides whenever we're part of these events and among the Italian-American community.
Now, when you get with other prominent Italian or Italian-American sports figures, is there like an additional bond? You think of this, and for the listeners too, and we'll list some of them off. You know, you've got Joe DiMaggio, Rocky Marciano. So, it isn't just, you know, racing. Obviously, the Andretti family has contributed additional members and great success on the racing side. But do you guys get together? And because I got to think about it, it is really as much of a great melting pot that America is. You know, Italians have been able to get, whether it's the food, whether it's the music, whether it's the art, the history, the culture, they have been able to be as proud and sharing all of that great stuff, as well as really, you know, being all American.
Well, indeed. I mean, when I look at, you know, at the roster of inductees, I look at Primo Carnera. Primo Carnera is from the area where I was born. You know, he spoke the same dialect as I do up in the Istrian Peninsula. And so, and then, you know, I'm just looking at my sports bar. You know, I have a glove, you know, the gloves from, you know, La Mata. You know, it's awesome. And actually, he signed the glove. He says to Mario, double R. Mario. Good old Jake, you know. But it's neat, you know, it's very neat. And I met Joe DiMaggio, you know, and to receive the first, I think this is the first of the Lifetime Achievement Award. I mean, I never thought that I'd get a second shot at it here.
Oh, come on. You know, here's the thing. And for the listeners and those who have met you echo this, and your family echoes it and all that kind of stuff. With all the success, I don't know how you stay as humble as you are, that you're the only person, Mario, that is surprised about it. When you come to Chicago, you know, not every visit, of course, is here to accept an award, but you do get to Chicago on a regular basis, maybe traveling through, and you're not that far from Pennsylvania. What is it? Is there are certain things you want to share with the listeners that you get to do or enjoy while you are here when you can?
Well, you know, you talk about the relationship with the Chicago or the proximity of it. I drove for a team that, you know, the Carr Haas, you know, who has been a citizen of that area for I had known him for about 20 years or better. You know, I drove for him for 12 straight seasons. So my visits to Chicago were very, very frequent. And I have friends all over, and I could visit Chicago and visit some of the friends like it could be almost a second home.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll adjust the sign out front as you come into town. It's like a home of, at least second home of Mario Giordano. Mario, you mentioned, you know, the passport doesn't change the blood. Neither does the badge or the logo on the car. With that new movie coming out, Ford versus Ferrari, for the listeners, letting them know you won your Indy 500 in a Ford. You were just out for the anniversary for Ferrari, and obviously a great affinity for Ferrari as well. Your thoughts on this movie? That is one of the greatest stories in sports, not just motorsports. Sports and to have it happen there. Do you have allegiances on either side for this? Are you excited for the movie?
Excited, yes, because I was on both sides of it at one time or another in my career. I won with both brands. I won even in sports cars, you know, what's actually showcased in the movie with both brands. And you know, it's amazing, obviously, how grateful I am, you know, for the opportunity that I had along the way in my career. I think out of 111 wins, 67 of my wins, you know, the way we counted, were with some kind of four power, you know. And then Ferrari, you know, Ferrari's like in here again, you know, another home for me, right? Because of what that meant for me, my career. I won my very first Formula One race with Ferrari. Raced the last race with Ferrari in 82. I won several sports car races. You know, 72, you know, we contributed in the manufacturer's championship with Jackie Eakes in a Ferrari. So, again, you know, I was just there over the weekend at COTA in Austin and spent, you know, almost the entire weekend right there with the Ferrari team, and they treat me like, you know, like certainly part of it.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's a big, happy family, and we all, you know, proud of the opportunities that we've had. And any given time, you know, that's where I feel like part of, you know, several manufacturers along the way, you know, with the career that I've had, lucky, you know, fortunate I've been to being around long enough, so I touch many corners here.
So you extend the automotive olive branch between both sides. Even the movie is Ford versus Ferrari. Mario is a beloved family member of both as well. Letting the listeners know, we're talking with racing legend Mario Andretti, who is coming here to receive the first ever Lifetime Achievement Award for the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame. And when it comes to the history and the roles that you have played in it, and of course we celebrated it with everybody last year, the 50th anniversary of the Indy 500 win. And coming on some news that was a surprise to many in the racing community is that, you know, one of the most iconic sports facilities, you've got Wrigley Field here, you've got Lambeau Field, you've got places around the country, the world, and Indianapolis Motor Speedway is right up there. Your thoughts on that? Because I know that it means more than just the facility to the grounds. It's the racing series. Was it a surprise to you, and what do you think it means?
Well, it was not a total surprise because as somewhat of an insider, I knew that with the right individual or right entity coming on Indianapolis, you know, there was some interest from the family standpoint to hand it over to some other entity to continue the operation. And this was perfect timing, in my opinion, and going to the perfect entity. With Roger Penske, we don't have to, you know, just talk about it, you know, what his credentials are, obviously.
Yep.
But from the standpoint of what he can bring and what it means to him and maintaining the sacrosanct, I think part of what Indy's all about, the deep tradition and everything else, I mean, it could be a more perfect marriage. And seemed like, you know, the family is very emotional, of course, you know, but you know, the Holman George family is very much at peace with this transaction, and the fact that it's not only Indy, but it's the IndyCar series,
right.
Obviously, that right now it's going to have just an extra boost, even though it's, I think there's a lot of buzz. The series is doing quite well, and it's progressing nicely, but it needs to regain, I think, what it lost, you know, when it was during the glory days, you know, since for some they're familiar since the split, you know, of the 90s. So, but a lot of things are in motion the right way, and to have a steward like the organization, you know, of Roger Penske is perfect scenario. I personally, as an absolute fan there, with the kids, you know, having a lot of skin in the game, I rejoice with what's happened.
Wow, you know, and you've echoed the sentiments of so many, and you say it's a perfect person, perfect marriage. I really think that it's like the only person that really combined not only that reverence, that history, that connection to Indianapolis, but also the resources, right? The finances, and then also the business side and the marketing and all the things that Roger Penske does and does well. I think he's really the only person situated to make this where everybody universally is really excited. I wanted to ask you this one last thing. And so Penske also has, obviously, you know, in a bunch of different series and in NASCAR as well, and as a Daytona 500 winner and have raced in that series as well. That particular race, the Indy 500, is a unique animal, and it is amazingly appreciated, one of the biggest sporting events in the world. But the Brickyard 400 has had some challenges, whether it's with attendance and the appreciation from the fans, and it has fallen off a little bit. Do you think that Penske or Roger, having his connection obviously with NASCAR as well, can maybe bring that event back to where it was maybe 10 years ago?
Well, you know, obviously, I think it's all, you know, something to look forward in a positive way, because just the way he does things, as you said, obviously, he has tremendous involvement in NASCAR as well. He's a participant there and a winner and all of that. And And, you know, having facilities such as Indianapolis, he wants to put it to work. You know, he wants it to work. You know, nowadays the rent's pretty high. They're looking at having a lot of activities there, concerts, you know, and on and on and on. You know, just let's use this venerable facility for things that can attract, people from all over the world. And of course, your marquee events, you know, he's even talking about having a 24-hour sports car race there. Why not? You know, the facility's there. So, you know, bring the majors there.
And bring back Formula One. You're right, because when you have a facility like that to utilize it in so many ways, I know they had the Rolling Stones there a number of years back. I mean, you can really maximize the potential and give so many people, because undeniably, the first time I remember walking into that place, it is so unlike anything else that is out there in any manner or means of sports. It's breathtaking. And the more ways I think you can get people involved and in there, I think the better. And it's going to be great for the community, great for the Speedway as well. You mentioned the perfect marriage, let's say, with Penske and Indy, the perfect marriage, perfect person to be the first ever inductee for a Lifetime Achievement Award for the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame is you, Mario, because you, not only on the career and the sports side, it's all there, but also walking the walk as an Italian American and a proud one as well. So congratulations. I think everybody is going to be excited to see you there tonight in Rosemont. And thanks so much for everything you're doing. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Dana, and hope to see you.
Hey, this is Cliff Boyer driving the number 14 Ford, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN Radio. All right!
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Skyline Studio high atop Chicago. Great to hear from Mario Andretti, and everyone is going to have a great time out there with him celebrating along with the other inductees as well. So thanks to Mario, and also thanks to Wayne Randazzo. Now, Wayne is one of the voices of the New York Mets. And you think, well, what is he doing here? Well, of course, it's the National, Italian American Sports Hall of Fame, so it pulls in people from all over the place. But he's a Chicago person, has Chicago roots, and was the voice of the King County Cougars as well, just like Joe Brand, right? So that's, you get there. Now he's the voice of the Mets, and I remember, Scott Franski, I used to do some things with him when he was the voice of the Cougars, and then he went on to call a World Series for the Philadelphia Phillies. So a lot of cool stuff. Wanted to also mention, we did earlier give a shout-out to Saluting with Smoke and the guys out there from Mission Zero 100 Hours, Sean Young, the teams and everything happening out there as well. And the holiday stuff, we just read the American Sale thing. Do you guys have a regular tree, a real tree or fake tree? And I know it's a little early for that conversation, but even the conversation is jumping ahead of the Thanksgiving.
We have a fake tree that looks very real.
But you seem to know. It's not like you're
it's
being...
fake, yeah. You don't get the smell. You don't get all the perks of having the real tree in the house.
The potential fire.
The potential fire. Yeah, you know, the bugs that could still be on the tree.
Has that ever happened?
You don't have to feed the tree with the special stuff.
I guess. And the needles don't fall off typically.
Right.
So when it comes to holiday stuff and gift giving, I did want to mention these are out there as of today. Brian Pollock from Operation Barbecue Relief had mentioned that out at Wanamakers in Downers Grove, they have autographed books from Myron Mixon that he had signed for us to support the BBQ Smoke down at Chicagoland Speedway to support Operation Barbecue Relief. They are there. They are at Wanamakers, and you can go ahead and pick them up. And $10 from every book goes to support OBR. So they're there. You can talk to Steve Cross. He is the manager of that department there, and he can help you out. And this is a great book. It's got, as Myron would say, everything A to Z that you need to know to make great barbecue. So I think, Ashley, you should probably pick up a couple copies.
I need to work on my barbecue. I'm not even kidding. After starting to do this show with you, I'm like, I got to get better at just barbecue in general. Knowing what's the best barbecue, knowing what's not the best, figuring it out.
Well, we know you you just graduated with dual majors, right? But
true.
It is never too late or too early to go back to school. Right? And so, you know, the first thing you start is a great textbook. So I think maybe you should pick up the books. And
that's
it comes
true.
To school. And earlier in the program, we had mentioned we got a couple texts from it and some calls as well. As Ashley, you know, Mario just won a Lifetime Achievement Award, and Ashley had mentioned that she had won Quietest Student, but it wasn't exactly, because that just seems like an odd award,
yeah.
You know, unless you're just, it's a hiding contest or something.
Right.
So you were actually what?
It was the most behaved. It was me and another girl. We were like the most behaved students, and our parents came in for the day It was like a whole big thing. It was like a sixth grade award that we got.
The most behaved student.
Most behaved.
But what do they give you? They give you a medal for that, or is it a large trophy?
It was a plaque. It was like a little plaque certificate thing. I still have it somewhere. I got to find it.
Yeah.
It's the best thing I've ever won, to be honest.
That's not
it's
true.
It's been downhill since then.
No, you have your whole life ahead of you. You're going to be winning a ton of different things. Here's what you got to do, and that's what they say, is in order to win and get involved in some of these, you just got to get out there. You got to show up. You got to show up, and then you got to play. So we've got to get to, we got to take a news break pretty soon, right? I think. All right. Well, I thank everybody who listened to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated. Hopefully we'll see you next week. We'll see some of the people out. Congratulations to Cooper's Hawk. And they're going to be opening up to the public on Monday. So big congratulations to them for World of Wines. We'll see you next time.